So we've come to the third of our lectures on the letter to the Colossians. In the first part, Paul introduced it, and obviously, as you remember, there's a trouble in Colossae of some philosophy, we'll call it, some ideas that were messing around the place, which were taking the focus off Jesus, the real Jesus of history, and fitting Jesus into a world view that was all to do with angel worship and a whole mixture of bits of Jewish practice. And it was, whenever you fit Christianity into anything else and it just becomes another colour in the mess, it loses its point, really. So they were accommodating it, and Paul focuses very strongly on Jesus. Don't do that. He has this beautiful hymn, which you'd remember. Then in the second part of it, he talked about his own apostolic office, which was to help them live the gospel purely, and then a call to fidelity to the gospel. And today we come to the last section, which is incredibly beautiful, really, quite simple, but it's about, well, what kind of life should disciples of Jesus live? So it's about our quality of life, the type of behaviour that's appropriate for us, and the values that a Christian community, in his case, in a mixed up world, well, that's the same with us, and it'll be the same forever, really, what values are important to us? So let's start that. It's chapter 3, verse 1, if you're following it, and as usual, I'm using the New Revised Standard Version here. And the heavy print is the part of Paul's text, and the smaller print are comments. So he begins. So, if you have been raised with Christ, if, by baptism, which we did earlier, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now that image, seated at the right hand of God, is clearly it's from Psalm 110, verse 1, and it's about the young man, the prince, who would then become the king, and he would be seated at the right hand of his father, and then when the father retired, he would take over. So the right hand was considered the arm of power, and that's the symbol of it, holding the sword, and he would be seated. They're all images, of course. Christ isn't seated anywhere, and God doesn't have a right hand. So we're dealing with imagery that gets it. He's there where all God's power, love power, is now exercised through the one who is the glorified Christ. And if you've been raised with him, keep your thoughts there, he says. He's already said, I'll go back to chapter 2 here to pick up the theme, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him. We read this last week. Rooted and built up in him. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And I hope we stressed that sufficiently last week. And you have come to fullness in him. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him. So having said that in the previous section, now he just says, well, if you have been raised with him, seek the things that are above. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It's hidden because the life we live here, it isn't yet apparent. It isn't yet fully manifested. It is hidden, not totally, but we've died to something. And I'll now read you quite a number of texts, first of all from this letter, that build that out. What have we died to, and what kind of life are we living? In chapter 1, verse 13, he's already written, he has rescued us from the power of darkness. And then he went on to say that in him we have received redemption. Redemption, we're slaves to something, to darkness, to sin, to mess, to not being sure of what on earth is going on, and we've been saved from that by Christ giving us his life through forgiving us our sins. We, he's already said in chapter 1, verse 21, we who were estranged and hostile in mind, he has now reconciled. So our thinking is different. Our way of imagining the world is different. Our decisions, therefore, will be different because we've got a new perspective on things that we didn't have before baptism. That's what he's saying to them. He talked about the record of our guilt, which can weigh on all of us. What we've done wrong can... No, it's been set aside. It's been nailed to the cross. Our sinful past was buried with Jesus when we were welcomed into the community of believers in baptism and began a new life. And a few more quotes from other places that Paul has written similar thoughts. I have been crucified with Christ, he said. It's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. It's a very complex sentence, that, because we've got to watch it, haven't we? Because it is I who live, of course. It has to be us. But the I is the ego, eh? The one that's not living anymore is the ego, egocentric, coming from my own, whatever, addictions, passions, needs, presenting needs, the part of me that isn't really me. Now that part, he said, has died. The real me, which is me in communion with God, which is the life of Christ in us, that's where everything now is coming from. His thoughts, his feelings, his... Would be good if it was like that, wouldn't it? If all our thoughts, all our feelings, all our decisions, all our imaginings came out of that beautiful place where we're in communion with God. It sounds like the Garden of Eden, but that's the goal. And that's what sanctity is, becoming more and more like that. So he's been crucified. So Romans, we haven't read that yet, but I'll read you these two little passages from chapter 6. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? But if we've died with Christ, we believe that we will live with him. That's the same point he's making here. And Romans 7, you have died so that you may belong to another, to him who's been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. That our life will bear fruit, and it'll be real fruit, because it'll be God's creative spirit coming through us and the vine and the branches and bearing that fruit. And he completes this just introductory principles that he's going to base all his advice on. Verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, is made manifest. New Revised Standard Version says revealed, but the Greek is phaneroo, it's like a lighthouse. It's not revealed technically. So when Christ, who is your life, is manifest, obvious, seen clearly, then you also will be manifest and seen clearly with him in glory. But that won't happen yet. At the moment we're struggling and it's not all that clear, but one day it will be really beautifully clear. This is a matter of faith, this hope. Faith. Christ has not yet appeared in glory, and it's not yet fully apparent that we are living his life. In this sense, we are hidden with Christ in God. But it will be made apparent, and in this hope we are to live the new life with which we are graced. So there, it's a simple, beautiful sentence giving the principles. Now he will